This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending him his greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, we spoke about the impact of one's prayers, or unfortunately for some of us, a negative impact of abandoning our prayers or neglecting our prayers, or not understanding the impact of the prayer. That if a person understands the prayer, the spirituality begins to lead the individual, or should lead the individual, away from carrying out atrocities or carrying out haram things. As the Quran mentions, "Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar." Salah takes a person away from fawahish and takes a person away from evil. So if the prayer is not codified, not spiritually focused upon, unfortunately the end result will be, for some people, it leads them towards to still carry out doing fawahish, or carry out al-munkarat, evil actions. And that's what we mentioned at the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah. Allah mentioned, وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ. It's going to be something difficult except for those individuals who are in a state of submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's again in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah mentions, وَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ. Stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in total devotion, total commitment. If you read the tafsir of these ayat, these verses are tafsir of Ibn Kathir, whereby you find that previously that companion will exchange greetings, or may even speak or say certain words. And thus these verses were said down, وَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ. حَافِذُوا عَلَى الصَّلَوَاتِ وَالصَّلَاةِ الْوُسْطَى وَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ. Guard and preserve your prayers. And specifically the middle prayer, وَقَوْلُ الرَّاجِحِ, the most accurate statement, the middle prayer is Salat al-Asr. وَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ. Stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in total devotion, commitment. So when a person has developed that commitment towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not just the external limbs, but internally becomes all focused, committed towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا رَبِّهِمْ وَأَنَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ. هُنَا أَظَنْ بِمَعْنَى يَقِينًا. This shows the importance of understanding the Arabic language, because many of us understand أَظَنْ to be conjecture, speculation, doubt. But here the Quran, the word أَظَنْ, the certain Arabic words can totally mean the opposite in certain places inside the Quran. So some of us may translate as those who doubt meeting the Lord. It doesn't mean those who doubt. الَّذِينَ أَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا رَبِّهِمْ. Those who know for certainty they're going to meet their Lord and they're going to return back to Him. كَأَنَّ الْآيَةُ تُشِيرُ. That those who really understand the impact of their prayer, it will change them. They know they're going to definitely meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they become vigilant about every single thing about their lives. Not just the external limbs that we worry about. As we mentioned, on many occasions, some of us, we become so frustrated, so focused upon people praying around us, how they pray. Obviously, it's good to remind one another, to encourage one another. Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Pray as you've seen me praying in the hadith in Bukhari. We should advise one another, deenu nasiha. But sometimes it becomes overzealous. Overzealous practice that every time inside salah, we're always just worried about people around us. Or kathrat al-harakat, fidgeting inside our prayers. Whether it be with our clothing, with our garments, or other even thoughts that come into our mind. And we lose the spirituality. We lose that focus. And this is drifting away of the heart, from away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's the heart and the limbs, or the smaller element of a piece of flesh inside the human being. Two elements of flesh need to be codified. Shows that the person's prayers had an impact upon them. Awla al-qalb, the heart of the individual. So a reward is given to the individual according to their focus inside as-salah. Gradings are given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of a person's focus inside the salah according to their intention and the purification, the focus of their heart inside their prayer. The second piece of flesh that possibly many of us, if not, I would not sound extreme to say all of us, don't seem to control it, is al-lisan, is the tongue. And this is a shortfall in possibly all of us, because the impact of ibadah that hasn't really penetrated us to make us to begin to control our limbs. Just like we worry about the outer focus, we need to focus on these elements to make us become better individuals. Because these are bad practices, which unfortunately have become common practice amongst Muslims. In today's hadith that we find, إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ لَيَتَكَلَّمُ بِالْكَلِمَةِ. Verily, a servant just says one word, kalima. مَا يَتَبَيَّنُ فِيهَا. Pays no attention to just one word. Not just a statement, just one word. Person just answers a word, يَزِلُّ بِيَا فِي النَّارِ أَبْعَدَ مَا بَيْنَ الْمَشْرِقِ. Person begins to slip, drop, all the way into the hellfire, between the distance between the heavens and the earth, and various narrations of wordings that exist there. Person pays no attention to word that they utter, word that they say, and a person begins to slip, begins to drop more and more further, deeper into the hellfire. And thus we find that one word, as they say, can destroy all your actions, can destroy your iman, can destroy your life, can destroy your home, can destroy your family, can lead countries to warfare. Just one kalima, one word. One word can destroy your actions. Kalima to kufr, a word of disbelief, person could say, could destroy a person's actions. That's why fuqaha begin to discuss at times whether it's intentional or unintentional. But a minority go to view, even if it's unintentional, a person says certain words, they should know certain things. But they go and utter certain words, it could nullify their actions. Likewise, the breakup of families, common practice among so-called Muslims, that we find no tolerance. One word is said. That's why, unfortunately, it's sad to say this, but it's still jahiliyyah amongst us that we find, and the words that we use, the words that we exchange, and a lack of tarbiyah amongst ourselves, that homes are split, families are broken, rights are taken away from kith and kin because of anger, of rage, of just saying one word that breaks a whole family apart, that breaks a nation, breaks an ummah apart. And likewise, we find words, simple words, it may sound strange to some of us, but there's essays and research that's been done about words that led to war. Just the uttering of words amongst politicians, amongst leaders, it led to war between countries. To some degree, you find a person laughs about why they went to war. Over dispute about animals was known as the pig's war. About a pig entered into someone else's territory, somebody else's area, and a dispute broke place and war broke out. This shows the shallowness of the human being when it's not codified, when they don't seem to understand that how the impact of words can lead to such atrocities on the face of this earth that we find. And many of us are least worried. We think it's a small matter. But this small matter that we find, this small piece of flesh, is dangerous. There's in a hadith of Mu'adh ibn Jabal that we find, he asked the Prophet alayhi salam, hadith number 29 of Imam Nawawi's 42 ahadith. He asked the Prophet alayhi salam, guide me to something that will enter me into Jannah, وَيُبَاعِدُنِي عَنِ النَّارِ, and take me far away from the hellfire. Look at the response of the Prophet alayhi salam. لَقَدْ سَأَلْتَ عَنْ عَظِيمٍ. You've asked something magnificent, something as if it's going to be impossible to achieve. The question you're asking me is very difficult to respond to. So he highlights what are the actions a person needs to do. First, by highlighting the pillars of Islam. Then highlighting about the secondary issues, supererogatory, extra issues that we could do, praying inside the night, giving us sadaqah, good deeds. Then the Prophet ﷺ highlighted ذِرْوَةُ سَنَامِهِ. The highest peak of it is all to do with fighting and struggling the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's a side point, Mu'adh ibn Jabal, that we find that some of us may think that this individual, maybe an elderly individual, just was just a young boy. أَعْلَمُ هَذِي الْأُمَّةِ بِالْحَلَالِ وَالْحَرَامِ. The most knowledgeable regarding halal and haram of this ummah, as mentioned by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, who died at the age of 34. Now, tasawwur, think about this. At the age of the person may hear the name Mu'adh ibn Jabal, think this person may live for many years, an elderly companion, only at the age of 34. But yet he asked intricate questions that would concern him and concern the rest of the companions, the rest of this Muslim ummah. Then the Prophet ﷺ then said to him, shall I not lead you to that which will control all of these affairs? Everything that I've listed, what will control all of this? فَأَخَذَ بِلِسَانِهِ أو أَشَارَ إِلَى لِسَانِهِ. He pointed and took hold of his tongue and said to Mu'adh, ya Mu'adh, كُفَّ عَلَيْكَ هَذَا. Restrain this. This is the whole hadith. Everything revolves around this. Mu'adh ibn Jabal, he's taken aback. He said, are we going to be held accountable for what we utter from our tongues?
ثقلتك أمك, a form of retribution, of rebuking Ma'adhim al-Jabal, that may your mother perish. You haven't even understood this. You don't understand this. In other words, in simple English, we could say you don't even understand this. May your mother perish. That you think you won't be held accountable for the speech of your tongue. وَهَلْ يَكُبُّ النَّاسُ عَلَى وُجُوهِهِمْ أَوْ عَلَى مَنَاخِرِهِمْ. Will people not be dragged on their faces or placed on their noses, except for إِلَّا حَصَاعِدُ أَلْسِنَتِهِمْ, except for because of the harvest. رَكِّزُوا عَلَى كَلِمَاتِ الرَّسُولِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. Look at the words of the Prophet ﷺ, look at the words of the Qur'an. The harvest, the vegetation, the fruit, the crops, the end result. ثَمَرَات, there's no ثَمَرَات, there's no fruits, the fruits is going to be lost. The loss of the result of one's tongue is going to be a grave loss on that day. Hadith Marwan Imam Tirmidhi in his Sunan. This should awaken the individual. Just like we're vigilant about all of the pillars of Islam, all the practices of Islam. Why are we not vigilant about restraining our tongues that we find? That's why ulama of Tazkiyah mentioned that the heart and the tongue is a reflection of one another. You know, maybe one of a person may could utter a wrong word or say something incorrect in a state of anger. It's possible, we're human beings, bashar, insan. But when it becomes habitual, when a person speaks and they say certain words, they use certain words, certain language that we find, ulama of Tazkiyah mentioned, this is just a reflection of your heart. Excuse expression, but if filth comes out of your mouth, then your heart is filthy. That's what ulama of Tazkiyah mentioned, that if continuously habitual practice, that the language that you use, the speech that you use, the words that you use, the remarks that you make, is habitual in your life, then a person needs to question their heart. Needs to question themselves. Because the tongue is only a reflection of the heart. And if good words come out of the mouth, that's habitual. Obviously in a good gathering, anyone can say good words. But in general practice, when they're on their own or with the people or speaking, whatever it may be, then good words come out, good reminder comes out, then this shows a good sign, a good heart. That's even the Quran mentions about kalimatu tayyiba, the good word inside Surah Ibrahim, and the bad word. A good word, asluha thabitun wa far'uha fi sama tu'ti ukula kulla hinin bi'idni rabbiha. A good word is like a good tree. The real good word, as Imam Sa'di mentions in the tafsir of this ayat, is qawlu thabit la ilaha illallah. But the impact of the good words is the other actions, the other good words that come out, that give out fruits. That's the parable of a good believer with a good word. And then the parable is given a person with a bad word, with bad statement. There is no establishment, ما لها من قرار. There's no establishment on the earth for that person who uses bad words, vulgar words. No establishment for that individual. Then Allah mentions, يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمِنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ وَيُدِلُّ اللَّهُ الظَّالِمِينَ وَيَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ. يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Allah gives ithbat to those people who believe. Say a word, قُلْ آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقِمْ. In a hadith, say I believe in Allah, then remain steadfast. What does it mean, say I believe in Allah, then remain steadfast? Then adorn yourself with everything that is related. Ya ghulam. Another hadith speaking to a young boy, a hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas. Oh, young boy, let me teach you certain words. What did the Prophet ﷺ teach him? احفظِ الله يحفظك. Preserve Allah, Allah will preserve you. Meaning that preserve the rights and regulations that belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will take care of you. Become vigilant about all your limbs and your focus and commitment towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's we find that unfortunately that we are so loose with our tongues. And likewise you find as mentioned certain ahadith with our private parts as well. That's if you study these ahadith, you find it summarizes. It summarizes how this Muslim ummah begin to enter the element of corruption, lack of preserving their private parts, their chastity and their honor, and then we find loose with our tongues. Especially we're going to touch on, especially amongst so-called practicing Muslims, that we find we pay no weight. We pay no weight towards our tongues and the words that we utter. We find it trivial. But the Prophet ﷺ, as we mentioned, whoever من يضمن لما بين لحييه وما بين رجليه أضمن له الجنة. الحديث ما رواه إمام بخاري inside his Sahih. Whoever guarantees for me to God what is between his two jaws, what is between his two legs, أضمن له الجنة. I will become a guarantor for that person at day of judgment. to intercede for them to ask that individual going to paradise. Sounds trivial, doesn't it? Sounds very light, sounds very easy. So why did the Prophet ﷺ mention that? Because he knows there's going to be problems. People are not going to be able to control their tongues, and they're not going to be able to control their private parts. That's a fact. That's what this hadith is giving isharah towards. You find another hadith, it finds أَكْثَرُ مَا يُدْخِلُ النَّاسِ النَّارِ. What would the most thing that would lead people to go into the fire? قَالَ الْفَمُ وَالْفَرْجُ. Hadith in the Sunan of Tirmidhi will be the mouth and the private parts. Most people go to the hellfire because of their mouths, because of their speech, and because of az-zina, of adultery, fornication, al-liwab, al-fawahish. It will lead them towards, unfortunately, towards the hellfire. Then the hadith it mentions before that the opposite. What's the most that will lead people to Jannah? Taqwa Allahi wa husnul khuluq. Fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and good character. Wala ra'si khuluq. And ahead of good character is what? Is good speech, good language, good etiquettes. Etiquettes are not just isharat, etiquettes are speech. It's a use of the body, use of uttering things which will lead people to enter into Jannah. Likewise, if another hadith is a Sunan Imam Tirmidhi, the whole of the body calls out every single morning. The whole of the body says, resist, hold back. Speaking to what? Speaking to the tongue. Says to the tongue, fear Allah. If you are straight, then all the rest of the limbs will become straight. If you are crooked, if you're evil during the day, then all the limbs will become crooked and evil during the day. So all of the parts of the body are rebuking, requesting the tongue that when you wake up in the morning, fear Allah. Fear Allah during the day. Rectify your affair with your speech you utter during the day. مَا يَلْفِذُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ وَعَتِيدٌ. Not a word does a person utter except for Raqib and Atid. Ulama of tafsir begin to differ. Raqib and Atid, is it the names of the two angels? فَأَيِّحَالِ This is a qawal that existed. What is what concerns us? مَا يَلْفِذُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ. No word do you utter, do I utter, except for كِرَامٍ كَاتِبِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ مَا تَفْعَلُونَ. Noble scribes, now the places that sort of infitar, noble scribes, they write it down. They know what you're doing because they visualize it. The angels visualize us. We can't see them, but they visualize us and they write it all down. That's all that their job is. What is common amongst us that we find of the use of the tongue? Backbiting, gossiping, slandering, tail-mongering, rumor-mongering, lying, character assassination, idle talk, division amongst Muslims. Sounds strange, doesn't it? But unfortunately, these are common practices amongst us Muslims, that our life revolves around this. And likewise, the rank amongst Muslims that we find the speech that we utter, it, in essence, it shows a lack of understanding of the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Unity of the Muslims is paramount. That's why people debate about the sighting of the crescent, etc. That if ulama have documented mention, even if a dawla, even if a country is wrong, even if there's a minor view that could be right, but for the preservation of sanctity and unity of the Muslim Ummah, you fast with them and you break your fast with them. That's what the Sharia teaches us. Sharia doesn't teach us that every time you see something that doesn't agree with you, that you pick a bone with it, that you highlight it and create it into an element of extremity. The Sharia teaches unity, that to develop that certain things you have to let go, to look at the greater image of Islam here that concerns. If even ulama who are outspoken of corruption, of innovations, of corrupt views, of deviant views, read their works in great detail. If there's a major threat upon Muslims, a major threat of disbelievings, attacking Muslims, harming Muslims, devouring their wealth, taking their land, taking their property, harming Muslims, for the greater interest, it becomes paramount. Hatta some ulama mentioned, becomes wajib to rectify affairs, to give one image, one element of protection for Muslims who are being on an onslaught. Read through the works of Sheikh Sam Ibn Taymiyyah. Read through his works, what he concluded, what he wrote. These are views that exist there. That person should understand these views. Shouldn't live in a bubble world of creating rancor, dissecting this Muslim Ummah on affairs that you find that fuqaha differ widely, expansively. So much to such a degree, person doesn't even know what the right view is. But Islam teaches us tolerance on certain things, to accept them. But we become hasty in our tongues. such hasteness that we find. Kalimat ma'na tasawwur ahyanan. Words that we've heard that a person seems to understand. What have you learned in your life? To say to a 50, 60, 70 year old person, wa'ilmu ma'roof, his knowledge is known, and no jahil, he's ignorant, ghabi, foolish, ignorant, jahil, doesn't understand. Kayf, look how light these words are. Ala qal shay, a person who's 70 years older than you. There's an etiquette of expressing certain things to another person, to say to them that even they're wrong, that this is the way that you may derive something which is wrong. It's unacceptable. But because we don't see, we're not nurtured, we're not taught, because the environment around is taught us to just lash out with your tongues. Anybody lash out at them, you don't agree with them, lash out at them. This is not good tarbiyah. This is not good teaching. This is not good etiquette. This is what the Prophet ﷺ, he warned us about. Being vigilant about our tongues. That you find the companions, they took that literally throughout their lives. Likewise, you find words, the forms of backbiting that we find that ulama have discussed. If a person makes remarks about their physical features, their religious characteristics, their worldly affairs, their character, their wealth, their children, their parents, their spouse, their servants, their attire, their manner of walking, their manner of smiling, their manner of frowning, that's backbiting. That's backbiting. Sometimes we find it trivial. A person can say what they want about another individual, make remarks, rudimentary remarks about another individual, because you don't agree with them. That is backbiting. And if it's not true, the hadith mentioned, then you slandered the individual. And slandering can be raised to the qadi. If you slander a person, a Muslim can raise the case to a judge. And a judge can place punishment upon you. Because buhtan inside the sharia, inside the Quran, isn't something like, read the verses at Surah An-Nur about buhtan, slandering a person, saying something about an innocent individual. And likewise, you find gossiping, discord amongst people, common practice even amongst the religious circle. The religious circle, that's what we're good for, just qila wa qal, gossiping from here to there. That we find, we find an-namam la yadkhulu al-jannah. The one who spreads rumors and tales, just spread. There's a sufficient is for a person, anything they hear, just to narrate it. That shows a person is a liar, is an imposter. Anything they hear, just begin to narrate it to another individual. Person who spreads tales about another individual. Hadith in Bukhari, an-namam la yadkhulu al-jannah. What is namam? Namima. What is namima? Namima, you find inside the hadith that we find, the Prophet ﷺ, he went past two graves. And he placed twigs upon the graves of these two individuals. And so this has become a form of alleviation. Ada khas li Rasul alayhi sallam. Some people try to say placing flowers on the graves based on this is allowed. Fahada baatil. Ada amal khas li Nabi alayhi sallam. To some specific term, a miracle, mu'jiza lahu. Sallallahu alayhi sallam. He placed his twig upon the grave that the punishment would be diffused for them for a short while. But what concerns inside this hadith? That innahuma yu'adhibani. These two individuals being punishment inside the grave. And they're not being punished for something which is a grave sin. Meaning that many of us, we find it trivial. As for one of them, he never used to cleanse himself after going to the toilet. Drops of urine may drop on him, drop on his clothing, pays no attention. When a person stands up and urinates, you find there's a high chance, a probability that drops of urine could drop on your clothing and you don't even notice it. Drop on your bodily parts, you don't notice it. Najas, impurity that's there. So you find that this person was punished for that, because drops of urine dropped upon them. Wathani, the second individual, kana yamshi bin namima, used to walk around with gossiping, telling tales. This and this was said, spreading it to this individual, adding, as they say, Chinese whispers to everything and spreading it around. Both of these individuals are being punished inside the grave that we find. And likewise, we find that we have to speak openly to the so-called current refutations that exist on YouTube and videos that we find. Read through, study the language, study the speech. Derogatory, rudimentary remarks. That's not a sign of a person sahibul ilm. Read and listen to the words carefully. Look at the content. Look at the attire. Look at the speech. Look at the way words are presented. This shows a lack of focusing upon one's tongue. And likewise, find sama'una lil kadhibi. The people who go around spreading any listing to kadhib as well. Read. We don't have time for such things. But in our research, read through the blogs. Read through the comments. Read through the statements. Shakhshiyat ta'ajjab, person is taken aback. Is this how low we Muslims are? Is this our language? Is this our speech? If this is our etiquette, then we have serious issues. We have serious problems. Because if this is the language and the words that we are using as Muslims, we have serious issues that need to be resolved. We need to go back to grassroots basic elements of teaching. Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir falyaqul khayran aw liyasmut. Whoever believes in Allah in the last day, speak well or remain silent. So all these comments that we find, they all show the corruption inside our heart, the corruption of our tongues, and we pay no attention towards this. And thus we find if we remain with the religious circle of so-called religious people. Listen to what Shaykh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned centuries ago about people who claim to be vigilant about Islamic rights but begin to fall about the control of their tongue. It is amazing how it is easy for a human to control and protect himself from eating haram, wronging others, staying away from alcohol, staying away from zina. Yet it's difficult for that individual to control his tongue. It's easy for some people to stay away from muharramat, but it's so hard for the person to control their tongue. A man is considered religious, pious, and a worshipper. That's what Shaykh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned. Rahmatullah, a person is considered to be pious, religious, and a worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, uses words which anger Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and pays no attention, no importance to his words. He's lowered by his speech to a distance between the East and the West. Then he mentions, continuing, how many times you see a person who refrains from the lewd acts of wrongdoing, while his tongue flows in false speech concerning the honor of those who are alive and dead, and he does not even care about what he is saying. Does that not sum up many of us today? Whether the person is alive or even the person is dead, we can't restrain our tongues. It's a general principle. The person who's died, فَأَمْرُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. The person affair belongs with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you want to make some review, it has to be an academic review. It's not just any comment. That's why in our society you find that if a person makes a comment, but there's this about it. What is but this mean? What is the intent behind that? Person shouldn't delve into things that don't concern them, may become a form of khasara, nadama, a form of destruction, loss for that individual inside that akhirah. Because unfortunately, we have too many of us have much free time on our hands. We have much free time on our hands in this so-called modern world that we find. So when the ulama mentioned, if your gathering becomes long, then shaitan has a portion of it. That's what these gatherings have become long. We can't construct our time towards constructive things. But we can constructively sit there and watch all of this for hours on end and make these comments. So shaitan takes in this naseeb of our life and naseeb of our actions. As we mentioned, that for many of us, unfortunately, may Allah forbid, our speech and our words could become an element of destruction, remorse, or regret. And as some of the ulama mentioned, become one's graveyard. Meaning become so regretful for that individual. That's why a person should be vigilant about social media and the use of social media. We keep on reminding ourselves time and time again that a person could, if we put aside comments, a person could play certain images. A person at times cannot take them back. A person may take them down, but they may go viral. And that could become a form of destruction for that individual, a form of shame for the individual. And as Muslims, we should be full of shame. We should be full of remorse. Because in the nadam huwa tawbah, to feel remorseful is tawbah in the hadith Sunan Ibn Majah. A person, kullu ummati mu'afa illa al-mujahireen. All of this ummah will be pardoned and forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Except for those who expose their sins. Facebook that we find, Snap and all these other forms that we find, what is it? It's just displaying certain things. But we can safely conclude many times it's haram. Many times it's haram, but things that are displayed because this is whatever it may be. Showing the world, showing people. A person, and sometimes people may, Allah forbid, in a state of nudity. What has this etiquette of a Muslim? Even for a young man to show their body, even their aura is covered, what need is there to display such things? And many times that we advise that sisters displaying their faces, even with hijab, plastering their faces with makeup, that we find هذا haram, لا يجوز عند شريعة الله سبحانه وتعالى, لا يجوز إطلاقا, it's not allowed. But you find that message exchange, images exchange, comments exchange, it all needs to be codified, needs to be controlled. And we find that comments are made, that we find And as we mentioned, so many of us rightfully, we may practice other practices, we overemphasize and we began with them. But we find out how much of us, Allah أُخْبِرُكَ بِمَلَاكِ ذَلِكَ كُلِّهِ is the hadith we mentioned about Mu'adh bin Jabal. What is the thing that controls all of this? All of the actions, our praying, our fasting, everything about it, what controls all of this is going to be our tongues. That shows our obedience towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus we find that we could do all these righteous actions and practices, but we fall short upon our tongues. In conclusion, we find that Umar ibn Abdul Aziz classified as the fifth Khalifa in the golden era as well, in his time. He said these golden words, the one who realizes that his speech is part of his deeds. The day that you realize that your speech is actually part of your deeds, just like you worry about the actions you carry out, will restrain his words to only what is of concern to him and is of benefit to him. When a person understands that my speech is actually just like I worry about how I pray, how I fast, how I stay from haram, then the person will become more vigilant. And that's what Islam is, being vigilant about ourselves. Vigilant because actions, maybe we could fall short. Allah can pardon, Allah can forgive. But words which are uttered, words which are made, harm said to another individual, what will happen to those individuals, may Allah forbid? The barter exchange on the Day of Judgment will be good deeds and bad deeds. All of us may fall short, and all of us will fall short regarding the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is Ghafoor Rahim, will pardon, will forgive, will overlook. Allah will take certain people an element of secrecy and ask them, did you not do this, did you not do this, did you not do that? Person will accept it and say, yes, I did. Allah will say that I concealed it on this dunya for you, I concealed it today as well. That will happen. But if a person says a comment to another individual, you can't now say, Ya Allah, forgive me. You can't say, Ya Allah, intercede and forgive me because I said these words. No, that won't happen on that day. Allah will say, bring that person. Bring that person and what will be done? Thus we find that people are different types, different forms of different natures. As you find the creation of Adam alayhi salam, as Ibn Kathir mentioned, Adam ulama of tafsir that he mentioned, that Adam was created from various elements of turab. Jibreel alayhi salam was sent to gather the earth, gather all elements, red, brown, mud, etc., the soil, put it all together. As you find every individual is different. Everyone's structure is different. Everyone's feelings are different. Person should be worried about it. Person shouldn't think that's just a Muslim, just shrug it off. On the Day of Judgment, some people will say, I want my right. I want my right given to me because it's taken from me on this dunya. So what will happen that day? Am I just going to say, oh, forgive me, pardon me, excuse me, those were just words that I said at the heat of the moment, I didn't really understand them, overlook this? No. The person will say, I want something from you. What will they want from me? What will they want from you? What do they want to take from us? Do you know what they want to take? Hasanat, our good deeds. That's what they want to take. You find a person come on a Day of Judgment will have mountains of good deeds. But the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, he is a muflis. He's a bankrupt individual. He's a loser. How is he bankrupt? Mountains of good deeds. How does he become suddenly bankrupt on the Day of Judgment? Mountains don't just disappear like that. But how? لِأَنَّهُ شَتَمَ هَذَا وَقَذَفَ هَذَا وَلَعْنَ هَذَا وَأَخَذَ حَقَّ هَذَا. He lied against this one. He reviled this one, he cursed this one, he slandered this one, he spoke wrong about this one, he said a bad word to this one, he took the right of this one. So it'll be said, by him. If that's the case, then take his deeds, take my deeds, give it to him. Take his bad deeds and give it to me. So I become bankrupt. You become bankrupt. This shows that the state, just as we began, we've been so vigilant about Islamic identity, Islamic practices. We're so vigilant about it. But we find that internally is an element of corruption to the core at times. That a person is taken aback that if this is supposed to be practicing Muslim, then imagine the state of the masses of the average person, the state of their hearts and the state of their tongues. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and ability to live true to our words, live true to our speech, to encourage ourselves to be vigilant about our speech, about our words and our utterances. Have we harmed any individual, to go and seek pardon, retribution, and tell them to excuse us, to forgive us, to overlook us, especially if we find the build up towards Hajj, if we find anybody who's making that journey to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is, we can say to a certain degree, incumbent to go meet the person, meet your family members, meet other people, and ask them to forgive you, to pardon you, to overlook any words, any comments, or whatever it may be. So when you make that journey, you make it in a state of purity. And if you're taking that journey, or you return back from that journey, you're in a state of purity. That day that your mother gave birth to you, is the hadith that mentions.